You've been lied to, but you don't know how. You've searched. You've struggled. You've cried out. You want the truth, but where is it? You've wandered. You've fought. You've strived, and you have not been satisfied. What is truth? Where is truth? Who is truth? The kingdom of God. Mind control. The last days. Higher dimensions. Unity. The power of faith. Discovering the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God has promised that He will hide us under His feathers, and under His wings we will trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. Discovering the Truth with Dan DeVaughn is the premier program that is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is designed to show you how to become more than you have ever imagined through the power of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And now, prepare for your host, Dan DeVaughn.
You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan DeVaughn. This program is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is a production of Bride Ministries, and you can find us at www.bridemovement.com. And you can join us every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time at thefireplacechurch.org, which actually we are now streaming live to Facebook, which is a new exciting development. We are just really excited about being able to move forward with God. Folks, I'm going to be honest. Wow. You know, there's been a lot of testing I've been going through personally. And I mean, let me tell you, it's been from every side. It's just amazing. And you know, I want to encourage you, and I made a note on my Facebook wall about this. Breakthrough. You know, when we are about to transition into something really big, great, huge, whatever, it's kind of like interfacing with a rubber band. You know, at the beginning of a breakthrough season, the rubber band is kind of like laying on a desk. It's not really stretched. It has this ability to stretch, but it's not really. And, you know, when you begin to play with a rubber band and kind of stretch it, whatever, it is very amenable to that. It's easy to stretch that thing to a certain point. But, you know, as that rubber band begins to stretch, the tension and resistance actually increases. And this is what happens in and around our lives during seasons that precede great breakthrough, actually. It's like the tension and the resistance increases and continues to increase. And it's like, you know, we walk out and we put one foot in front of the other, and then another foot goes in front of that, and we just keep pressing in. But the more we press in, it seems like the more resistance and tension there is. And the idea is that, look, what we don't realize is that in order to graduate, we're going to actually have to break through. And see, with a rubber band, what happens is a rubber band actually does have a breaking point. There is only so much pressure, resistance, and tension that rubber band can create by being stretched until it snaps. And when it snaps, it's broken. And see, what many of us don't realize is that as we're going forward with God, we're going to see that tension increases, that pressure increases, that resistance increases in our lives, and it can cause us to get very nervous, to think we're actually going the wrong way. And not to say that God isn't bringing us through continual course correction as we are going into that breakthrough season, but many of us get very nervous and shrink back. We say that the pressure is too much, the tension is too much, I don't have what it takes, I can't do this. And we forget that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. But I want to encourage you guys. You know, I'm going through it right now, and I feel like, you know, you always say it's close. But that, you know, there's a certain point where you just walk it out, and that tension is so great, the resistance is so great, the pressure is so great, to a point. But the Bible says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for ye shall reap in due season if you faint not. And there is a point where you are pressing in, and that rubber band of your life is just stretched to absolute capacity, and then you take that next step, that one final step, and boom, it snaps. That is the defining moment and breakthrough. And then you are in a whole new plane of operation. And you know what, folks? I just am very encouraged when I go through seasons of great pressure and tension and resistance. And you know, those of you that follow this ministry, know me personally, you know. it's been a challenging walk for months. I mean, really. And, you know, I just have great confidence that this is all training for reigning, you know? And I believe that you are going through training for reigning. See, God will take you through the refiner's fire to prove that what he has invested in you is of more worth than gold. And so I just want to encourage you guys, you know, you're going through it. You're going through that pressure. You're going through that resistance. Don't back away. Keep moving forward with God. And expect that there is going to be that day where the break happens, the breakthrough manifests, and you are operating in a new season and from a new plane. With that said, folks, we do have a conference coming up on advanced spiritual warfare, March 17th through 19th. You can sign up at BrideMovement.com. It's just right there on the homepage. We sent out an email about it to our email list. You'll be getting another couple emails about it before the conference if you are on our email list. I really want to encourage those of you that listen to this program to attend. This was formerly only made available to those that were participants in Bride Ministries Discipleship. We go really high, but I feel like at this point in time, it's relevant to everyone, whether you've been part of Bride Ministries Discipleship or not. You are actually extended an invitation to get this information that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be dealing with, contending with heavenly powers, realms, ministry to timelines. We're going to get into spiritual weapons, genetic and bloodline level deliverance. We're going to get into a lot of stuff that's very, very powerful. I mean, these are super-powered weapons of warfare, tools, and strategies for getting kingdom work done. So I want to encourage you guys to sign up for that. I'm really looking forward to this conference. I will say, you know, I mentioned on a couple programs that I would be in Australia at the end of March for a week-long conference. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, guys, that conference has been canceled. And however, we will be having the Advanced Spiritual Warfare Conference that weekend before, and the 17th through the 19th. And after that, I'm going to be preparing to do another conference at some point at either the end of April or early May. And this one's going to be on sheep nations. And I'm going to be breaking it down, and we're going to be doing some deep study. You know, I wrote this book, Kingdom Government and the Promise of Sheep Nations. Haven't even taught out of it. You know, like, who does that? Who writes a book and then doesn't teach out of it? But it's just the way things have happened. But we're going to be doing a whole conference on it, and I'm going to be preparing all of those materials over, you know, the next couple months. And so for those of you that have really been asking yourself, like, what is this guy's deal with sheep nations, and what does that have to do with God's plan for my life? Look forward to that. So, you know, with that said, folks, we're going to get into a really awesome program today. We're going to be talking with Liz and Dr. Bailey on some very fascinating and relevant subjects. I do want to encourage you guys. Look, Bride Ministries, we want to do a lot. And folks, recently I've had to pull back a lot. I really have. I've had to pull back on just about everything the ministry is doing and trying to commit to and trying to get done. Because we are limited by our budget. And so the more you guys bless us with, the more we're able to do, the less you guys bless us with, the less we do. And that's just the way it works. You know, we're either going to advance or we're going to have to not spend the money we don't have. And I want to encourage you, you know, we want to do so much. And if you're looking for fertile ground, place to sow into that's going to produce kingdom harvest, Bride Ministries will receive what you have at bridemovement.com or thefireplacechurch.org. For folks, with that said, we're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. To be having another fascinating conversation today. We're going to be getting into it on, narcissism. We're going to be getting into it on handlers. We're going to be getting into it on targeted individuals, psychotronic weapons, electromagnetic stuff. Folks, you know, we're going to be getting into it. And in order to get into this conversation we'll be having today, I am being joined by Dr. Preston Bailey, who you all should know by now. So no introduction is necessary. And Liz, one of the survivors that he has worked with for some time. And with that said, Dr. Bailey, welcome to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall.
Thank you, and welcome welcome to you, Daniel.
It's always good to be welcome to my program. Thank you, Dr. Bailey. And Liz, welcome to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall.
Thank you.
It's really good to have you back. You know, the first two interviews that we had with you, Liz, a lot of people really benefited from. And what you shared helped people to connect dots. And I just really appreciate you and your bravery and boldness in sharing and discussing components of your journey.
Thank you. It's interesting when you speak about the boldness. Is it okay to say something now, or do you need to?
Well, this is your interview.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you speak about the boldness, because I've actually just come out of a very significant trigger that occurred Saturday night, and I am at the front today where I feel like, you know, I'm back in control, but it took probably well over 24 hours, and, you know, I didn't feel like I had any boldness at all. And actually, I was so severely triggered out of nowhere. An altar came up that, and I actually went down so far down, you know, that I didn't really have a clue what was going on, other than I heard this altar just crying out. And it was like she had this revelation that she was worth nothing. And I felt the pain of that altar, and I felt the discovery that altar was having, that she felt that she was absolutely worth nothing. And I was coming actually home from having, I volunteer at a group home for unwed mothers, and I, you know, I help with these single mothers and their babies, and my husband has actually been not happy with me doing the work, and I don't know if there was something that was being sent to me or what, but I could barely get home. And on top of that altar was coming up an altar that was just crying out, what am I doing with that old man who was actually my husband, who the Lord spoke to me one day and said, your husband is your handler. And I never really realized that, I don't think. But this altar is up and saying, what am I doing with that evil, evil man? And, you know, and with that man and that woman, which they refer to, the younger altars will refer to as the old man and the old lady, and with that other man. And when the altar said in that other man, it made me wonder, were they referring to a programmer or an entity? But I'm saying all this to say that when you talk about being bold, I was completely under their control for over 24 hours. I couldn't barely speak. Dr. Bailey had called me, and unfortunately, an altar came up that has a foreign language, and it made it impossible for me to speak to Dr. Bailey in English. And this altar was actually triggered when I had surgery at a hospital. I may have shared that in one of the programs. And for 3 days, I had lost my cognitive memory and spoke to the doctors in another language. And when they came and questioned me on the language, I said, I don't know another language. And they said, well, you must have learned a language as a child because you are speaking in another language. So I'm saying all of that, Daniel, to say I just come out of a really difficult probably day and a half where I was very victimized, and like you said, bold, you know. I did hear an altar say, don't do the radio program, so I felt like, okay, this is making me mad. You know, God must really want to do this, you know, and this, you know, may be an attack. And I went out to my car to try to contact someone, and when I came back into the house, my husband said, how are you feeling? Which made me wonder if he didn't really know what was going on. And then I was telling Dr. Bailey when I went to bed last night, he said to me, he went to put his arm around me and he said, come to Daddy, which he's never said before. And I'll let Dr. Bailey comment on all of that so he can kind of.
Yeah, come to Daddy is what Dr. Joseph Mengele said, who programmed children, especially twins. He was known for twinning. And what he would do is he would cause a condition in one twin that would lead to their death and immediately kill the other twin and compare the organs to see what the difference was. So he was very sadistic, and many people that are programmed played the role of Dr. Mengele.
What was it like for you to call Liz and get a foreign language coming through the other end of the phone? How did that play out for you, Dr. Bailey?
That's happened numerous times before. So that is a New World Order altar. And it's very hard to get it down once it's up. It's not like many of the other altars. I pray that God would push it down. If a general prayer does not work, then you have to be more specific. So I pray that God would send a throne angel, that's the warrior angels, to push it down. Normally, that works, but she was in a high emotional state from being upset. She had been, I believe she had been near water, and water does something to evil spells that it amplifies it. I just prayed hard that God would try to push it down and send angels to push it down. But now a lot of the programming is not done personally in front of the individual. A lot of it is now done from a distance using psychotronic weapons to contact the individual. And now they're so advanced with technology that they can target a specific part of the brain. So it's really bad. And they can cause pain in any internal organ of the body, and they can cause pain on any external body part. For example, there is what's called tomes from the waist up. They are areas of nerve centers that connect directly to the skin or the spine or whatever, and they can send electromagnetic energy to those areas, and it would trigger that whole area, causing great pain. So it's really awful. Let me give you a specific example. One time Liz called me, and she was standing up, and they used electronic energy to cause her leg to feel like it was burning and on fire, and she screamed, and I heard her fall on the bed. So it's really horrible how far they have advanced technologically in torturing, tormenting, and programming individuals.
Well, you know, Daniel, here's the thing, though. I do believe that we do have victory in the Lord. And, you know, we are always called the victim, but we really are the victor. I'm determined that I'm going to get out. I'm going to go free. I don't know exactly why I had such a severe trigger Saturday night, but in the home, you know, I'm working with another person each time I volunteer, and there was a woman there, and, you know, she was sharing with me about her family, her husband, her parents. She homeschools her children, and she just seemed to have, like, a perfect life. And I'm thinking that that might have triggered the altar because, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord and, you know, got married, and I thought I was, you know, going to be serving Christ and, you know, that my children would know the Lord and walk with the Lord. And, you know, the day I got married, you know, something really horrible happened in the kingdom of darkness. And I had no idea that I would be spending all these years just fighting to survive and to keep my kids alive and so on. So I think maybe the wonderful, beautiful family that this lady had, and the fact that she, you know, she loved her children, she was homeschooling them, they had a good marriage, it might have been what brought that child altar up that felt like she was really worthless. I don't know. Would you think that might have been it, Dr. Bailey?
Yes, this is a big thing for everyone with DID. Their handlers or programmers say they are worthless. Worthless is what I call a false belief. It is not a feeling. There's not a feeling called worthless. So Satan's power over us is to lie, because he's just a fallen cherub. He just has two set of wings. A seraphim has six wings. So he is just a fallen cherub, and his weapon is his mouth. He is a liar and the father of lies.
Right.
So he lies to people to try to control them. And feeling self-worthless is a lie. It's a false belief, because when a person says, I feel guilty or I feel worthless, they're placing themselves in a position of a judge, in which they are declaring themselves guilty and of little or no value. Well, the only one who can declare us guilty or having worth is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so what has God said? God said in the Old Testament, in Psalm 8, 4 and 5, who is man that thou art mindful of him, and who is man that thou hast created him? Thou hast created him a little lower, some translations say the angels. In the Septuagint it says, thou hast created him a little lower than God, and crowned him with glory and honor. So an angel is not crowned with glory and honor. I say that the Septuagint is correct there, that God made man a little lower than God himself. In Genesis, it verifies this. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us, plural, make man in our, plural, own image. So we are made a little lower than God in his image, and we are crowned with glory and honor. So royalty wears a crown. So the next time a person is lied to by the enemy and said, you are worthless, we need to say, you're lying, because I'm a child of the king. Royalty. I am a prince or a princess. And so therefore, you are a nobody, so by the blood of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave.
The problem, I think, Daniel, is that when an altar's up, I don't know that I'm an altar, because I'm not there anymore. You know, so I just only know whatever altar's up. And it was about 24 hours, and then those altars started to go down, and I was up. And all of a sudden, I started thinking, now, wait a minute, Jesus Christ died for me. I have to be worth something. Mm. But when it's happening, you know, it's not the same as a person who hasn't been trauma abused.
You know, this is my takeaway. One, folks, you got to understand that every time I have a survivor come on my program, the enemy always attacks them. So it's never free or without cost. There's always a price. Because when we do this, when we sit down, when we explain the truth of how these things work, and especially give survivors a platform to do that, this hurts the kingdom of darkness greatly. One of the reasons why they'd love to shut down what we've been doing at Bride Ministries. You know, so, I just want to say I'm very proud of you, Liz, for going through with this, not listening to the voice that said, don't do the program last minute, but pressing in. And you know, I want to highlight something, because you brought up victory. And I mean, Dr. Bailey was just preaching, praise God. Here's the thing that people need to understand. Victory is not the state of not being attacked. That's not victory. Victory is not losing to the attack. That's victory. And so if we are going to abide in the victory that is Christ Jesus, the thing is, we're going to go through attacks and identify with Jesus in them and overcome them in him as a lifestyle. That's a life of victory. And I'll tell you what, it is something that I believe is a choice. And I believe, mm-hmm. Liz, you are making that choice.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God for you.
Yeah, and I've been reading a lot. I don't know how many listeners, are Christians, but I don't know that I would ever be alive today if I hadn't received Christ into my life. But I've been reading the book of Nehemiah, and I believe that it can really apply and help people that have been abused and, you know, have altars, because the book of Nehemiah really has to do with rebuilding the gates in the walls. And it's just a beautiful picture of spiritual rebuilding after desolation by the attacks of the enemy. And we know that the city had been burned and the walls and the gates had been destroyed. And, you know, Nehemiah was weeping and fasting, and I mean, just reading it, and he's crying out in weeping for what had happened to his people and to Jerusalem. And this unsaved king, you know, wants to know, like, what's wrong with you? You know, why is your countenance down? And so he tells this heathen king, like, what's on his heart, and that the city that he loves is destroyed, and he pours his heart out, and then, you know, he gets to go back to that city and rebuild it. And it just struck me of how powerful prayer is, you know, and that God is listening. And, you know, like, when we have been abused with satanic ritual abuse, it doesn't even have to be satanic ritual abuse, you may have been raped, whatever has happened, you know, our spiritual gates and walls have been destroyed, and the enemy of that has had access to our lives. And the walls and the gates really represent protection and entry points, you know, into the city. But I looked at it as, you know, our protection, or our feeling of being protected, has been violated. And so this is just such a great story of just the rebuilding of the gates and the walls. And, you know, God is always wanting to restore us and always wanting to help us and build us up. And I am 1,000% convinced that I don't care if it's the Illuminati, the New World Order, I don't care who it is. My God is greater. And I'm going to keep pressing in and bugging Dr. Bailey. You know, I bug him a lot. And, you know, and believe in God for myself and for others, that we're going to get a tremendous victory. And we're going to learn some techniques and things that we're going to put this enemy to shame.
Speaking of putting the enemy to shame, let's talk about some things that are really going to help people connect dots and see more clearly in their own situations, beginning with the subject of narcissism in programming. Liz, you told me that you wanted to dialogue about this on this program, or someone on the inside did. And so I want to start there.
Go ahead. Sorry. Well, Dr. Bailey has, you know, Dr. Bailey's been my counselor for over 10 years, and he was really, truly handpicked by God for me, because the fact that he is so consistent, you know, he's not up and down, he's very consistent, he's very deep in the Word, he can be very blunt with me. He's been very, very good for me, but he many, many times has said, you know, your husband is a narcissist. And I never really understood it fully until one day the Lord spoke to me and said, your husband is your handler, and he is a narcissist. And all of a sudden, I realized in my spirit that he was chosen. Like Dr. Bailey always said, we had an arranged marriage. And Dr. Bailey can get into that, but I realized that my husband's personality as a narcissist was part of the ability to work us together, because my favorite scripture is how good it is, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And my husband's assignment of the enemy is to go into churches and bring destruction. So, you know, we are total opposites. And I realized that this narcissistic personality, in order to keep me in my place, that would be the ideal person, you know? And I had a lot of fear of this personality because I never saw it before. I didn't, you know, understand it. And I wondered if it was a disorder or if it was spirits, but I've come to think that it's probably disorder. And, like, you know, it's a collection of signs or traits, and they're people, but they have behavioral patterns that they adhere to, and those behavioral patterns happen to be harmful and dysfunctional. And I really believe that the programmers are picking narcissistic people. And Dr. Bailey and I were talking about how many women are programmed, and I hope you'll touch on that a little bit, that women with handlers that are narcissistic, this just would add to it all. I don't know, maybe you can help me a little bit, Dr. Bailey?
Yeah, narcissism is a personality disorder where individuals feel they're entitled to grandiosity and consider themselves to be above everyone else, that their opinion is above everyone else. They tend to dominate the conversation. They tend to exaggerate and lie. So as handlers or programmers, they tend to be very sadistic. And they have little or no sympathy for other people. 6% of the people in the U.S. Have narcissistic personality disorder. So a person with DID does not need to be married to a narcissist, because they will get no sympathy. They will get no encouragement. They will not have someone to help.
Would you say, though, Dr. Bailey, that I feel like that personality is picked because they are actively manipulative. They also have very deliberate purposes. They themselves can be handled by programmers very well.
Yes, I was on the Maury Povich show debating one of the board members of the False Memory Syndrome Foundation, and let me just say that false memory syndrome is not a psychological condition. It's a made-up term. It is a more of a political term, not a psychological term. And on the way home on the plane, I happened to sit in front of a woman who used to work with this psychologist who was on the False Memory Syndrome Board. And she said, I want you to know that he is a narcissist. And I thought that was hilarious. The head of the False Memory Syndrome Foundation is a narcissist, and many of the programmers are narcissists as well. But when a person has DID caused by satanic ritual abuse, their mate, usually a husband, is chosen for them. It's an arranged marriage. And it may be before the actual abuse starts, but it is an arranged marriage. And oftentimes there is a wedding in a church on earth, but simultaneously there is a wedding in the kingdom of darkness with Lucifer there and certain people as witnesses, quote unquote, and then they sign a book in blood, a marriage contract giving the wife to the husband as property, and the man just treats the woman as a piece of property, similar to the way fundamentalist Muslims do.
Well, I was just going to say, wouldn't you say, though, that they are a good choice for handlers because a narcissist is not fully aware of their condition, and they generally have to believe that they're always good and right, and therefore their own programming can be very well hid from them through their narcissistic personality.
A narcissist, after they tell a lie long enough, they believe their own lies. So the lies they tell, they make up stuff. If they're a salesman, they tell everybody they sold hundreds of whatever the product was, and it wasn't even a dozen. Whatever it is, they lie. They grossly exaggerate, and they believe their lies so much that they believe it. And so therefore, they cut, if they're married to a person with DID, they just constantly cut them down. And they say, you're wrong. They never admit they're wrong, because they convince themselves that they're right.
Well, Daniel, what do you think? I'm just trying to put this out as something for some of your listeners to think about, like the person that's very destructive to them. But because the narcissists want to hurt people and make them feel bad because it's the easiest and most effective way to make them feel powerful, wouldn't they be a good choice for a handler?
Well, I think absolutely they would be a great choice for a handler. A narcissistic person is the kind of person that will beat a person up and then be upset because their fist got a bruise on one knuckle and expect the world to complain about or feel bad for them because it's such a severe self-centeredness on everything that goes around. It becomes very easy to create lots of pain for them and for them to be completely disconnected from the pain they are in fact creating. And I think that was a very accurate kind of expression of that. And I think Dr. Bailey's bringing great points to the table. And I think, you are as well, Liz, just exposing this whole thing for what it is. And, there are a lot of people that are in a situation where they are either with romantically or in marriage, a narcissist that is a handler and they're codependent with them. And
you see how they can use them is because the narcissist views the world only in relationship to themselves. So they can be very driven to fulfill their programming, the only difference, I think, between the narcissist and the psychopath is that the narcissists are needy. And so and if they're a handler, they've probably also been abused. Right, Dr. Bailey?
Yes, often as a child. I've been to many prisons on death row. Many serial killers are narcissists. And they recall 80% of people in prison were abused as a child. 80%. So they attack others, and like Daniel said, they blame the other person for having their knuckles bloody, but many serial killers act the same exact way. They blame their mate or even their children if they have custody of them. And so they take it out on them. I saw a real life murder movie recently where the man was a narcissistic, and he expected his children, his two little girls, to be perfect. He had got custody of the children. That's how stupid some of the judges are today. And he would beat the children for being late for school, but they were late for school because he knocked the books out of their hands. Best thing to do to a narcissist is ignore them. Don't believe their lies. You can't win in the debate with them. You cannot win in a discussion.
But they're still dangerous because they're a handler, you know,
yes.
And that's why I think their behavior pleases the programmers, because it's always your fault, and your pain comforts them. I don't know, maybe I'm overemphasizing it, but I believe that personality is, you know, one that is being used in programming, you know. I do.
Well, I think, and you're nailing it there, because you said the words, it's always your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Because what that says is, you know, and I know, like, for you, because Liz, you've explained to us perfect programming and how the scoring system played into in earlier programs, which, folks, you can always find in our archives, because Liz has been with us twice before. And she talked about the cosmic hierarchy and time travel and some other interesting subjects. But the idea that a narcissistic person comes in always with the blame game. This is your fault. This is happening to you because you're the problem. How do you think it makes me feel to have to create this pain for you? I mean, it's such a one-sided event on all fronts in that situation. And what better way to keep a person feeling worthless or powerless or completely a victim of their own flawed nature and never able to truly come to grips with their abuse and always in this place of self-examination of how am I failing what I'm supposed to be or do or manifest. So I think you're really nailing it there, Liz.
Yes, I started a support group for battered women. And we were so effective in our support group for battered women that the city shelter that was supposed to specialize in helping battered women, when they had a woman that was a difficult case who was so codependent on her abusive husband, they would send her to me. Hmm. And what I would tell the women is, you need to reprogram your mind. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, renew the mind. But for our discussion, reprogram the mind so that whatever he says, you respond in your brain in a certain way. If he says you're worthless, you say to yourself, I am worth a whole lot because I'm a child of the King and Jesus died on the cross for me. This man over here wouldn't die for anybody. So I'm going to believe God over him. And if he says, it's your fault, you just say to yourself, God is not in the blame game, and so it's not my fault. If he says, you're guilty, then you should say to yourself, Jesus bore all my guilt and sin on the cross, so he lays no guilt to my charge. And whatever the abusive person says, we need to renew our mind by writing, searching the scriptures, and writing down specific things that you're going to say to yourself. Because remember, you're not going to win in an argument against him. So it's what you say to yourself so that his words cannot affect you. And, or in a simple fashion, ignore what he says. If he goes on forever, just leave the room.
I think that I'm going to just disagree with you a little bit, and, you know, respectfully disagree. When you're programmed, it's you can't use the same principles as in primary counseling.
Well, I understand that. So, you, as I always do, I try to find the altar that is affected, that's involved in this behavior. But you still have to get the altar to believe the truth.
Yeah.
Jesus,
okay.
Only the truth will set us free. So with the altar, you expose the lie as a lie, and you get the altar to believe and accept the truth.
Okay. And okay. Thank you.
So let the wonderful counselor speak to the altar instead of me, and tell them the truth, and let the great physician heal the pain of that altar and take away the pain, and then cleanse the altar of any evil and fill every empty place with the opposite of what the lie is, what was said to the person. So the truth that can replace it can be a scripture or a biblical principle.
What else did you want to say, Liz, on the subject of narcissists and programming before we move on to the next subject?
Well, I think that we've covered it pretty well. When I began to realize that, you know, that a handler could be narcissistic, I also realized the, I don't want to say call it the power that I had, but narcissists have, I don't know if they're victims, but I just began to realize that I wasn't as weak as I thought I was, because narcissism is a disorder. And is that, I need Dr. Bailey's help on that. It just, it helped me to realize, okay, oh, you're a narcissist, you know?
Yes,
and you've been,
but
you've been terrorizing me for all these
wrong
years.
Way of thinking is called today a disorder in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders. So if you go by calling it a disorder, then they would say half the U.S. population has some type of disorder. So you don't focus on excusing the behavior by calling it a disorder.
Okay. I mean, I felt actually empowered when I realized you're
yeah,
a narcissist, because I don't know if that makes any sense, but I felt stronger when I recognized that they were narcissistic.
Well, if it helps you, then fine, but they are still responsible for their behavior.
Oh, of course, but I think, I don't know, I'm sorry, I think what I was saying is, that a programmer is using them, right? And so now we're on equal ground. Not that you have all this power over me.
Yes, I think realizing that as the person that's been subordinated, you are not mandated by God or, you know, to stay in that role is a huge breakthrough. And it will change perspective on how you're going to engage the people around you as well. Well, hey, the next subject that I really want to get into today has to do with, well, targeted individuals. Electromagnetic targeting with psychotronic weapons. Now, I've had a number of conversations with Dr. Bailey about this on past programs. I mean, this has been an ongoing thing, but it really never gets old because this is actually a problem that is very prevalent. A lot of people are being targeted by these kinds of things. They're waking up to it. It's just like, oh my gosh, I'm a targeted individual. They're blasting me with wave-based technologies. This is horrible. What did you want to say about this, Liz?
I think as I work with Dr. Bailey, you know, and he has far more knowledge. I mean, I have experience, but he has a lot of knowledge. He's very helpful to me. I have come to realize how much they watch me and, you know, how much they manipulate me, manipulate my family, you know, that they have specific agendas. And, well, as probably most of you know from previous programs, that they present people into my house that I can see. And, you know, I've been asking God to show me what's it all about. And, like, the Lord really spoke to me and said, these people that you're seeing are here to access you. So, like, when you see, let's say, for example, for most of your listeners, if you look up, you know, and you're watching TV and you're looking on your wall, you see a man, a person, and he's half a man that you think you recognize, you know, or some others recognize, and the other half of them looks like a Satanist with a horn, your child altars get triggered, and they're being accessed, right? You know what I'm saying? So they're using on me specifically some type of holograms to trigger my altars. I can go anywhere. I can go any state, any country, and they're with me. I am targeted because, like Dr. Bailey and I were talking about it, it has to do with your brainwave signature. I can go anywhere, and they can put a picture. I mean, one time I went down to visit a relative in Florida and stayed in their guest room, and they put a picture of my son dead in a coffin on the wall. You know, they're always terrorizing me. And so, Dr. Bailey?
Yeah. Let me give a definition so people understand. A targeted individual are people who are illegally and covertly stalked, harassed, or tortured by use of high-level technology, and they do it to control and manipulate that individual. Now, some of the symptoms that targeted individuals may experience are what's called microwave hearing. They hear people being tortured or any kind of loud noise. They may have visual hallucinations like Liz is describing. They can, using modern technology, they're called psychotronic weapons or directed energy weapons. They can put any picture they want in front of a person so that only they can see it. They can give them artificial dreams, so they're restless when they dream. They can retrieve memories while you're awake or asleep. They can manipulate your thoughts, your emotions, desires, or perceptions of events. And they can manipulate human behavior, your speech. They can force you to say something that you didn't want to say. You can have loss of memory, and you can have sleep deprivation, or you can have cramps or spasms or pain in any part of your body, or you can even have the symptoms of a heart attack. But directed energy weapons are not made up by people with DID.
No, sometimes I have, what happens is, like, I will wake up out of a sleep because I've had an internal electric shock.
Yes.
I feel it and I see it. And I know this one's going to sound really weird, but I've had it on an occasion which sounds like a horn, like a car horn blowing, like a signal, and I'll just wake right up. I don't know if it's to signal certain altars, but God has allowed my main self, who wouldn't yield to that, to also wake up. So I don't know if that falls in the category or not, Dr. Bailey.
Yes, it falls. That falls in the same category. So the purpose is to harass the person, affect their health by a lack of sleep, and make them think they're crazy by the sounds that they hear. And it is estimated that this happens to over 1 million Americans. This has been studied by many different scientific groups, and have found that it is true. DARPA, which is a branch of the military that does advanced scientific technology, and NASA and the CIA used this. Now, if anybody doubts that this exists, you can go to the U.S. Patent Office, and they have, one after another, detailed patents that describe the symptoms that targeted individuals experience. So the U.S. Patent Office just doesn't give a patent to anybody who comes along. It has to be provable, and it has to be verified, because many people, they do not give them a patent for something.
And another weird one that I've had, well, and I will say too, when you mentioned not having sleep, I have been up since, I think, 2:30 this morning. Very often I am woken up about 2 or 3 o'clock, and I, you know, I'm not sleeping hardly at all. But another one that I've had is where they shock you, but you don't fully come to the top and wake up, but you go into some realm where you are actually in the zone of other people. I hope I can describe it correctly. And you're viewing things that other people are doing. Do you know how to explain that, Dr. Bailey? Like, they'll wake you up, but you haven't come to the full surface, but you're viewing things that they want you to see. But it's actually like spying on other people. You're seeing things that other people are not aware that you're viewing.
Yeah, that's actually mentioned as one of the symptoms of a targeted individual. All of these things, even though they sound bizarre, all of these things are recognized by the U.S. Patent Office as real. The U.S. military actually uses many of these programs. What happens is this. Like the CIA, for example, has a multitude of these programs on their computer, and they activate the program. It is sent to a technology machine that sends it up to a satellite. Then the satellite looks for a specific target all over the Earth. And there's two parts of the body that give off an electrical signal. That's the heart and the brain. So the brain emits what is called a brain wave signal or signature. And so they put in there the brainwave signature they're looking for. Once they find it, they activate this program for that individual, and that person experiences the symptoms of this specific program. It's really pretty evil. The U.S. military used there's just hundreds of programs. I'll give you one specifically. They used in the first war with Iraq, when it invaded Kuwait, they used the voice to skull program and got thousands of Iraqi soldiers to surrender because they activated this program, but they did it in Farsi or Arabic, and they thought they were hearing Allah. So many of these have a military advantage, and the CIA uses them because it fulfills their purpose. So it's pretty.
Have you encountered it where there are projections of signals or waves that actually don't come off of satellites, but are coming off of craft that may actually not even be present in the physical 3D dimension, but they're being projected nonetheless, almost through a quantum field? And that's just open floor.
There is what some call the matrix. There are ley lines that are real, and when ley lines intersect, it is easier to target an individual. But there are also 13 dimensions. So if something occurs in another dimension, and let's say an electric signal is sent in another dimension, when that dimension intersects our dimension, whatever is there at that intersection, which could be a targeted individual, they could be hit by that electric wave or shock. Whatever is in that dimension can affect. It's like a parallel universe. It can affect people on Earth.
Right. So, but when you're perceiving a holographic blur of frequency patterns, like, for example, when I go into my bedroom, mm-hmm. you know, where I live, I've been there about 4 years, there's always these three, they appear to be great-grandfathers from, you know where they're from, right, Dr. Billy? From,
yeah.
All right.
And second heaven.
And then when I'm in the living room, there's a whole different group of them. So what you see is not what exists directly where it seems to be. You're perceiving a hologram, and it's translated into a pattern, right?
Yes.
The whole idea is for you to communicate with them. I mean, I have them at work. I mean, I go to work, and there's a holographic pattern that appears, and right away my alters will come up and say, oh, that's the engineer. You know, because I know that the Illuminati are scientists. This is the thing. They're scientists. And so when I see the grandfathers and the great-grandfathers, all these frequency patterns are meant as a stimulation. Is that correct?
Yes. What people need to understand is in the state of Ohio, there are laws against directed energy weapons, psychotronic weapons, and electromagnetic energy weapons. Now, the one who started that bill in Ohio was astronaut John Glenn. Now, do you think, working for NASA, he discovered that directed energy weapons are real and are being used against the population? Or do you think he made it up? Now, of course, astronaut John Glenn, one of the most respected astronauts in all of history, he didn't make this stuff up. It was real. And even though the average person may not be aware of it, it is real. So people wonder how an unidentified flying object can be flying next to an airplane and give off energy signals, and then suddenly it disappears. That's because it is a type of a holographic image. It's a little more than an image, but that's the words to describe it. It's
right.
And here's the thing, because okay, there are a lot of reports about different kinds of UFO activity, right? It's so even there are firemen's manuals now that discuss some of the oddities that will happen if a craft happens to be, and I think a lot of these are actual black ops military, it's fine, but you know, the idea that they can create electromagnetic disturbances in a region. Airplanes have had their dials go nuts when some of these craft are around, and so everything gets like confused. And of course, when people observe craft, they've observed them being almost interdimensional, where they can blip in and out of, you know, our time and space and so on. And then we're talking about targeted individuals. And so I'm looking at connecting dots and I'm thinking, okay, well, if they can create all these distortions and disturbances and whatnot, can their technologies be utilized from them to affect targeted individuals? And that would actually bring a whole other element to this conversation, particularly for those that would consider themselves like abductees and targeted individuals, because maybe they're like, you know, how is it that I'm in the middle of nowhere? Literally, there's no way that there's some kind of cell tower next to me, but I'm still getting targeted. I wonder, could this be a part of the equation? Now, I know that there was even a day where I was working with somebody and there was an internal self-helper I was working with on the inside of them. And they said, well, Daniel, it would be really helpful if you would pray against the craft that are bombarding this person with all these frequencies. And I'm like, well, where are the craft? Like, well, they're in another dimension. I'm like, oh, that's great. So it was like, yeah, that was just thrown in my face. That's why I asked the question. I'm trying to connect some dots here myself as well. But thank you for everything that you both shared. Really, really good stuff.
But see, there's a lot. It's called a UFO, unidentified flying object. There's there's many different sources of craft, and it's not a black-white answer, is what I'm saying. There are ley lines around the earth, and Liz, is there anything you want to say about that?
No, I think that these patterns that they show you, it's all deliberate. It correlates with what is really out there. And these frequencies that they are transmitting, it all has a purpose. I mean, we don't really fully understand how manipulated we are and what this agenda is all about. I was telling Dr. Bailey, Daniel, that I felt this. I believe this is a new agenda that of the New World Order that we're going to see soon. Maybe Dr. Bailey, I'm sorry, I'm switching a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to just need your help a little bit. But the family doesn't take things lightly, and there's something coming up where they're going to rearrange things to regain control, I think, in America. Is that right,
yeah.
Dr. Bailey?
That's right.
I don't even know why I got off on that. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Now, let me ask this question, because Liz, now you pushed a button here. You said regain control. Now I'm chuckling on the inside because I know a couple things. are you suggesting that there has been a recent depletion in power that they're trying to recuperate?
Yes, I do believe that more people are becoming aware of their programming. I think some programming is breaking down. Like myself, I've spent many years really fulfilling the programmer's agenda. Dr. Bailey and I are very, very certain about why my husband and I were brought together. He was assigned into destroyed churches, and I really made him look good, so to speak. But my programming is breaking down. And so, they're counting on a lot of these people that they can use them in the end day. And if your programming is breaking down and they've invested all this time and energy into you, then they either have to quickly reprogram people. And it doesn't work the same way. When you are programming people layer upon layer, and year upon year, it's far more solid than when you just zap somebody and they're frazzled. They can't function the same way as somebody that they've been putting years into. So, yes, there's something coming up. There's something coming up where they're going to have to make a shift. And I believe that we're going to see a lot of people be set free. I believe that God is going to give insights. And because the family uses formulas, they're all about science and math. I think God, who is the greatest scientist and mathematician that there is, is going to give answers that are going to set a lot of people free, and something's going to backfire on them. And I don't know, would you agree, Dr. Bailey?
Yes, I would agree. And people need to understand this simple truth. Everything in the universe requires energy. Quantum mechanics or quantum physics. It focuses on particles and energy. But even the smallest atom requires energy. And Christians don't understand the extent of the power we have in Christ. And let me illustrate this. I was speaking in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and one of the men at the church said, Dr. Bailey, would you mind if I took you to lunch? I said, sure. So the next day at lunch, we ate, and he said, I'm the director of the Tennessee Valley Authority. What that is a series of nuclear energy facilities. So he is in charge of one of the largest nuclear facilities in the United States. He's a Christian. So he took me out to these nuclear facilities, and he said, in the nucleus of an atom, there are two protons that have a positive charge. He said, all the laws of science that we know, it says that the nucleus of an atom should not stay together. It should explode along with the whole universe. He said, so what does the Bible say about what holds the nucleus of an atom together? I said, I don't know. He said, well, you need to read your Bible. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, God holds all things together by the power of his word. He said, it is God that holds the nucleus of an atom together and prevents it from exploding. Now, isn't that interesting from a famous scientist? So, we need to remember the power of our words.
Right. Does that make any sense to you? I really think that I agree with Dr. Bailey, because God spoke and said, let there be light. The substance, the light was there, right? Mm-hmm. And the sound vibrations of his words caused the substance to manifest itself and appear. And so words are energy, and energy affects matter. But I think God's going to take this and use it for people that have been in these bondages for so long, to use the words that the words of light and truth and speak them, and they're going to bring a lot of healing, because a lot of programming is words that have been spoken over you, mm-hmm. words yeah. that brought trauma and bondage. But I think God's going to turn things around, and people are going to rise up, and these words that are vibrations of energy that affect the atoms, right?
That's
these
right.
thinking scientists that think that they had all the power, that God's going to put it in the hands of believers and people that have been programmed, and you're going to start setting people free. And they're not going to have all the people that they thought they were going to have.
They are not. I mean, on the practical level, I look at what happened with our recent presidential election, mm-hmm. and my thinker tells me there's no way that our current president was supposed to be the president of the United States, according to the agenda of, well, at least the power players of the Illuminati in the U.S.
Right.
I just do not think he was their plan. And I know that there are some people that try to say, well, he was the secret plan all the time. I think that's giving them too much credit. Personally, I think their power waned and he won, and they were upset because they couldn't do anything about it. And that was a shock.
Yes, they have no frequency and vibrations that overpower prayer. That's the thing.
So
right?
Are you saying, Liz, that you think it was a waning in their power that actually happened, that is what played out? Or am I just putting my thinking in your mouth? Just clear that up for
me. No, God prevailed because of the prayers of the believers in this country.
Yes.
So as an Illuminati...
That's what happens. Prayer is an energy, and it overrode these stinking New World Order people, and that God's going to bring them down.
Okay.
He has them under his foot, you know, positionally, but he's going to bring them down and put them under his foot in reality, and I'm believing him to bring many, many people out. That's why, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, want to talk a little bit about it tonight, as we understand that we can change our brains, that we can use our words and, you know, to fight all this programming we have. I think we're going to see a lot of victory.
Go ahead, Dr. Bailey.
Yes. It's the, remember I said the key word is energy and words, the power of words. I believe what was said, that so many Christians united in prayer that Trump would win the nomination, that at the last second, so many people prayed that prayer in the spirit realm is a vibration frequency that affects things. And the Bible says that one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. Imagine 1,000,000 Christians praying for the same thing, that they weakened their vibration frequency of their prayers, the kingdom of darkness.
So let's talk about what happens then when a program has fulfilled its term.
Okay. This is just something I'm learning now, because I believe, like, the assignment that my husband and I were brought together to do is really coming to an end. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, I'm going through a lot. And I'm very, my altars are very, like, bonded to him. I don't know if you call him a perpetrator or, you know, or perpetrator connected. So, you know, it's very difficult. But, you can actually feel it in your body as it starts to break up, you know? I don't know, Dr. Bill, if that's the correct way of putting it. But recently I had said to my husband, like, what's the point of staying together? You're so mean to me. See, I'm getting stronger. And I mean, I've taken so much abuse from him. And he literally programmed our kids, and I was just so terrified of them. But now it is breaking down, and it's a positive and it's a negative. I'm being able to stand up to him, but because I have so many altars connected to him, I'm going through a lot. But I made up my mind that I would do whatever God wanted me to do, and if I needed to leave him, I would do that. And I said that to him, and I actually went through something really horrible. And I think that, I don't know what actually happens in the end, you know, exactly. I think Dr. Bailey would be able to help us. But that night, after I had really determined I was willing to leave him, and you know, remember, he's a handler who's handled me for many years and my kids, I started having this overwhelming amount of flooding. Now, I know you have that with before the programs are breaking down, and I literally experienced almost what St. Daniel, like, insanity. I thought I could feel all this, like, insanity in my head, and I thought, if I leave him, I'm going to actually break, and I'll be like a vegetable. So I feel the programming is breaking down, but on the other hand, leaving him, this rules in this family, this rules to this game, you know? And it's hard to understand it all, but I literally heard the Lord speaking to me saying, don't go. That even though it would be hard, don't go now. That, you know, that God was actually working, and that even though it's difficult for me to stay for this time right now, that God wanted me to stay because he's working things out in me. He's working these programs and this stuff out of me. And I believe that my husband's programming grip on me is being broken down, and we are coming to the end of the assignment, but I want to be able to live and be able to function. So God has been teaching me. I can't just walk out. Like, and here's what happened. I literally became aware of far deeper altars than I even knew were there. Because God speaks to me in vision form, and the family torments me with visions, right? I saw my system, and down below all these altars that I have spent 25 years trying to find healing for and resolve issues was a huge bed of deeper altars that I was never ever aware of. So I was learning that you have all these altars that, you know, they're not you. They have all different kinds of agendas and so on. And it's just a bunch of crap, excuse me for saying that, that they just live this thing so that you don't realize that you have all these deeper things that are going down on below you that are really probably the, you know, the altars that are going to take different positions in the, you know, the New World Order. And I realize that a lot of these people that get on programs and say, you know, like, I'm 100% free and blah, 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 I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe that we, you know, because I've seen it myself, that it is really a process. It's a process with God of him. It's like Dr. Bailey told me years ago that it's like peeling an onion. You know, you have to peel the onion. And I thought, I'm not peeling any onion. You know, just tell me the facts and we'll get this over with. And anyways, I'm finding, like, as we come to the end of this agenda, we're breaking down. Both my husband and I, we're feeling the effects of it in our body because, you know, we've had amnesic barriers that have held a lot of this back. But now those barriers are breaking down, and I can see anchored altars down below, cult altars. You know, I don't know. I probably need your help, Dr. Bill. I don't know if I'm saying it right. I don't know what actually happens in the end, but because I have stayed with the Lord, I've prayed, I've kept my eyes on him, I believe he's going to bring me out. It is really hard.
Yes, because you can't just get out of the Illuminati. It doesn't happen. It's like getting out of the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do it in a progressive fashion. And
so they will kill you. That's what I learned that night. They'll kill you with insanity. I've had, like, I told Dr. Bailey, sometimes I feel like I'm having a heart attack. But it's God, Daniel. People have to give their life to Christ.
Yes, and they will kill you. They tried to kill me, but God intervened. And I mean, they were in my office, so this was not any imagination or grandiose imagination, but...
Dr. Bailey, what do you think, though, when you come to the end of your program, so I'm not sure if, because I could see all those other more anchored altars, if my programming is just over with my husband, there'll be another, like a new assignment, but do they normally just kill you or put you out to pasture and you're a vegetable? Or do they reassign you and disconnect you with your present, you know, person? Or what do you think? Because I know it's all breaking down between myself and my husband.
The vast majority of people that they're finished with is they send a suicide signal. For the last few years, you've seen over 300 bankers commit suicide. And that's because they were given the signal to kill themselves. It was, the Illuminati was either finished with them or wanted someone to take their place, or they wanted to get out or some reason like that. But
what do you think, Daniel?
Regarding what they do with people once they've expired?
Well, what do you think, and when you've been ministering to people, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, my thoughts, and I guess we'll probably close with this because we're out of time. My thoughts are that if a person is fully under control, they're a lot easier to dispose of in creative ways. And I think they prefer creative ways. I don't think that sending a hit out on someone is the preferable way to do it, because that can be tracked. And it's expensive.
I agree with that.
I think what they would rather do, especially if the person has an identity. Now, if they don't have an identity, then a snuff film or something like that is more realistic. But if the person has an identity, then they have to use a different method. I think triggering insanity is definitely one. Just getting them locked up in a mental ward or a home for the elderly if they're older, and they just put them on a bunch of drugs and they sit them in a chair and they just exist for years until their physical body dies. I think that when a person is not under their full control, it's a big battle, because if they don't send a hit on them and they can't get away with that, God will block the witchcraft and he will block the triggers and he will prevent the parts, the sleepers, from being activated the way the family would like to activate them, and can really bring a person through on a road of victory, which is overcoming and not losing to the attacks. And, so that's where the encouragement comes in, is that, you know, when a person takes this journey with Jesus, there's a real, real power that comes behind them that there is no recourse for. I mean, they can resist the power of Jesus, but they cannot overwhelm or override or beat the power of Jesus. And the firmer a person attaches themselves to him, the more likely it is that there's actually nothing the family can do about it. And at the end of the day, Jesus is setting people free. I do agree with you, though, when you say, Liz, that a lot of people that go out and say they are free, in fact, still have some sleepers that can be activated. Mm-hmm. And I think that we can all, you know, bear witness to that. So, you know, folks, I just want to encourage you, those of you that are listening, Jesus Christ does not stop being the answer. And with that said, I'm going to say thank you, Dr. Bailey, and thank you, Liz, for taking time to be with me on this program, to share and to explain. So, folks, that's it. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
God bless you. All right.
Amen.
Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall is the premier radio program designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program has been a production of Bride Ministries. You can find us at www.bridemovement.com. At our website, you can contact us, access resources, and support us with donations. We need partners in order to continue to produce our vision which is to promote unity in the body of Christ worldwide and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. Partner with us and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Klosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Pick up your phone and shake it to get $50 off any cocktail maker. Yes, you heard me. Shake your phone and get $50 off. Don't delay.